High-end fashion is becoming more cutthroat. Designers are joining large corporations in order to survive an increasingly competitive luxury goods market. Three huge conglomerates dominate the designer world, making it more difficult for independent houses to hold on to rack space at department stores. NPR's Madeline Brand reports from New York.
This is not the world of Gap shirts or Ann Taylor jackets. It's another universe of Gucci fur coats and Christian Lacroix gowns, the luxury items you see displayed on page after glossy page in Vogue, the layouts that make you wonder who buys this stuff. Well, there are enough rich people, especially here in New York, who really care about fashion, and they make a lot of money for the luxury goods companies. And for those fashionistas, there's nothing worse than looking like everyone else.
This piece is really interesting. This is by Marion Pajovsky, known primarily for doing Bjork's swan dress for the Oscars, sort of launched him into the stratosphere. This is like a 1950s cheerleader skirt done in polyester with an applique of two stuffed animals having sex.
Joseph Cortana is the owner of Seven, a boutique on Manhattan's Lower East Side. Seven is one of just a few stores here that stock one-of-a-kind pieces, pieces you probably won't even see in Vogue. They're made by designers you've probably never heard of either, designers like 32-year-old Aliona Yurtevich.
Some of them I just hang because it's stretching out, but there's like dresses.
Aliona wheels out a rack of her designs from her fall collection. We're in a small studio in a nondescript high-rise. The walls are white. There's little furniture. Her dresses and sweaters in moss green, rust brown, and sky blue fairly leap off their hangers. They almost seem alive.
Oh, that's the famous bubble group. I was just inspired, I guess, by some nature, maybe. Basically, my idea was to create some sort of different shape on a body. So that was my sculptural project.
Those bubbles received a lot of attention. One of the designs, a pair of knit hot pants with crocheted bubbles sewn in clusters onto the hips, made it onto the cover of Women's Wear Daily, the fashion newspaper that is the Bible of the industry. Joseph Cortana, the owner of Seven, snapped them up.
They're beautiful, and I think it's genius. It's fantastic. Never seen anything like it before.
Aliona may have received critical accolades, but like a really good independent movie, that doesn't mean commercial success. Bloomingdale's isn't going to carry bubble hot pants. They're just too out there. What you will see at larger stores are a lot of labels owned by Gucci, Prada, and LVMH, the three largest fashion conglomerates. Among them, they own a sizable chunk of the designer world, houses like Christian Lacroix, Yves Saint Laurent, and Jill Sander. Donna Karan was recently bought by LVMH. What the conglomerates offer independent designers is irresistible. Money. Factories, marketing muscle. Clarice Peccari-Giraldi is the head of communications for the Prada Group, which now employs designer Helmut Lang. She says now that Lang is part of her company, she's able to get him much more media attention than he could on his own.
When I buy the advertising, I go to Condé Nast and I get for Helmut Lang, which is a much smaller brand and has a much smaller budget, the same corporate rates that I get for Prada, which has a much bigger budget, for example. And it is obviously a leverage tool that you use with the department stores, yes, also.
Meaning Helmut Lang can now get much better and bigger space in stores, maybe even an in-store shop. Ideally, he'll now be able to concentrate on the creative end of his business, the actual designing, rather than the business end, says Eric Wilson, an editor at Women's Wear Daily.
It's very difficult to be an independent designer today, and most of the companies that are independent have been looking at the prospects of joining up with one of these conglomerates.
By contrast, Aliona Yurtevich has to do everything herself. She designs, she manufactures, she struggles to mount fashion shows at $10,000 a pop, and she tries to get into the right magazines. Media attention is crucial. Without it, Aliona says, department stores won't risk buying an unknown designer's collections.
Because buyers need security. They need to make sure that the customers see the piece in the magazine so they can say, you see, this designer is popular now. So it makes them easy to sell.
And there are other behind-the-scenes maneuvers that give the conglomerates an edge. At the same time they've become more powerful, so have department stores. Several have merged, and they now have the power to demand a lot of concessions from designers. For instance, the stores sometimes require the designers to buy back their clothes that don't sell. Designers also have to pay for ads and for the catalogs that are sent to people's homes. The big fashion companies can afford to do what the big stores want. Eric Wilson of Women's Wear Daily says the effect of all that is to squeeze out the little guy.
There's been so many complaints of designers saying that they're just facing an impossible retail climate from the big stores because they have been narrowing their focus a lot in the past year, eliminating a number of brands from the stores and increasing their focus on the more profitable brands.
Independent designer Calvin Klein, although the owner of a multi-million dollar company, has been searching for a buyer for years. So far, none of the three conglomerates has shown an interest. Happily for Aliona Yurtevich, a number of specialty boutiques have sprung up in recent years just for small risk-taking designers like her, but it's still rough going. She barely has enough money to display her designs at next month's spring fashion shows. So she's considering creating another more accessible line of clothing, maybe some trendy t-shirts. But boutique owner Joseph Quartana, taking a break at a nearby restaurant, says she and other struggling designers should stick to what they do best.
If they're doing things that are just designed to sell, fashion editors are not going to give it a second glance, you know. And then it's just going to wind up in a boutique somewhere with no buzz and no one's going to care about it. You know what I mean? It's just going to be a basic sweater. So I think they should focus on just doing the strongest pieces possible, getting it out there for the editors to see. That will generate publicity and exposure, and it will create like an immense amount of demand for it, and those pieces will subsequently sell.
And therein lies the difficult ambiguity of the fashion world. The clothes have to be creative enough to be noticed, but they do have to be wearable, and wearable by more people than just a few fashion mavericks like the singer Bjork. The big conglomerates face the same conundrum. They need to encourage the unique styles of the designers they've taken over, but at the same time make sure those designers appeal to a wide enough audience. And all this takes place against an ever-shifting background, because as Coco Chanel once said, fashion is made to become unfashionable. Madeline Brand, NPR News, New York.